This is the Pitch Vision My Cricket Coach Show, number 57. Hi, you're listening to the Pitch Vision My Cricket Coach Show. You can find us at pitchvision.com and email us on mycricketcoach@pitchvision.com. My name's David Hinchliffe in the UK.
And I'm Kevin Sampath from Australia. Coming up on the show, we have a chat with the King of Batting, Gary Palmer. We also have a chat with Menno Gazzandam. And this week, we have a chat with Sam Lavery from the Pro Coach Cricket Academy. Well, David, you may remember that I was talking about how badly our team performed last game and that
we
were complacent from last game and the game before as well.
Mm.
Well, you'll be surprised to hear we had a turnaround this game. We played the team coming last, David, but we only managed to get 9 players on field because a lot of our players had exams, a few players were going overseas, so we really struggled to get 11 on field. And we thought if we sort of hang in there for the day, maybe the next week, we can sort of try and come back and put in a good performance when all 11 players will be back.
Mm-hmm.
So our captain gave us sort of a motivational speech to sort of try and do everything to our best of ability, sort of play for our teammates. And you wouldn't believe it, David, but we rolled them out for 40. Our fielding was fantastic and we really showed great aggression. And we posted 130.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't bat as well as we should have, but we got 130, which is about a 90-run lead. And we sent them in back. We sent them back in for the second innings, and at stumps they were 80 for 2.
Excellent. And so you must have all been trying twice as hard if you managed to bowl so well.
Yeah, I think all that after that first wicket, we thought if we try and get these wickets early, then maybe we can go rest in the shade for most of the day. And that's what happened. So it worked out well for us. It was a good motivation.
Good. And your own bowling, how was that?
I don't like to say this, but I hit a few batsmen, which is, I don't know if it's a good or a bad thing, but everything was coming out right and was hitting the spot wherever I wanted to. So it just goes to show a little bit of hard work off the field and it pays dividends.
Well, these are the days that you have to remember. You have to remember days like those because when it's all going badly, you can sort of bring it back. And when you're standing at the top of your run, you can think, right, how did it feel when it was all going well? Let me try and remember that. Because when it happens like that, it all seems so easy. You wonder what all the stress and the worry about was when you weren't bowling so well, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
And then it's the same with anything. It's like batting or wicket keeping, even. You know, so when it's all going well, you don't have to think about it, and you just get on with it, and you just think, wow, this is brilliant. I wish I could put this in a bottle and uncork it whenever I want to. Although you can't, you kind of can, because if you can, you know, remember the good performances and try and sort of recreate them rather than trying to think too hard about, you know, what's going wrong, try to think about, okay, what did I do right last time and how can I emulate that this time? Then that works to give you a more consistent performance, I find anyway. I had terrible troubles with worrying about putting in a bad performance, and then you worry about it so much that you end up doing it. But if you think to yourself, okay, well, I know I remember the days when I did really well, when I did, in my case, you know, when I did those two leg side stumpings, and you know, the guy only just lifted his foot up for a second on the second one, and I just managed to get the bails off at exactly the right moment, and everybody said well done, and you know, that's really, really good keeping. You know, remember those days and remember how it all went well and try and bring them back as much as possible. So, you know, it's back to how much of the game is psychological. And I think probably most of the game is psychological once you've learned the basic skills.
Yeah, exactly right, David. I was having a chat to a few of my teammates as well, and they said, I was talking to them about how when I went to this game, I was really confident that I would perform well because I trained well that weekend. I ate right. I sort of did the right stuff throughout that weekend. They were saying it's about the mindset, because in my previous games, I'd go into the games telling them how bad I've eaten that week, how I've done no fitness work that week. And that transformed into my bowling, where I bowled really well. I didn't bowl really well, but this week when I went confident that I was doing the right things, it showed in my bowling.
Oh, no doubt about it. And you know, realistically, what difference could you have made with a week of, you know, good healthy eating and exercise and all the rest of it? I mean, those are all good things. But what difference can you make in a week? Probably not a huge amount.
Exactly.
But the big difference you can make is that everything feels right, and when it feels right, it starts to come out right, and suddenly, you know, your wrist is in the right position, and you're following through properly, and you know, everything's nice and smooth. So yeah, it's definitely a feeling thing. So what training have you been doing? I know you've been on Project Lettuce Leaf.
I've been doing a lot of Swiss ball or the gym ball work, David, for my core.
Yeah.
That sort of strengthened my core as well, and I've started a bit more lower body training. I've sort of improved on those two things, and I've sort of cut down on the upper body training as well, which I don't need as much in the season because I've done most of it off season. So I just mainly do conditioning.
What kind of lower body stuff are you doing?
Lots of squats and the lunges, and yeah, I've started light, but hopefully I'll get. Yes, stronger as we go by. I mean, I do look like a bit of a wuss in the gym,
Yeah.
but I know it's for my benefit, so I'd rather
Well,
do it with the right technique than not.
exactly. Yeah, you've got to start somewhere. Everyone's got to start somewhere. Not everyone can just walk up to the bar and stick a couple of plates on each side and start squatting, you know, 20 reps. It's not that's most people can't do that. They don't have the technique, they don't have the neural strength, and they don't have the muscular strength. So yeah, you've got to start somewhere. And I think that probably puts a lot of people off from going into the gym in the first place. You think, well, God, you know, I'm only squatting with the bar. That, you know, there's guys in there who are just piling the plates on. But I know in my gym that there's quite a lot of powerlifters in there. So you've got some guys, a couple of guys in there who are just ridiculously strong. You know, they will literally be piling on the weight, and you're sitting there. You know, you're sitting there. Look, watching them do warm-up sets with your maximum it's weight that you've ever lifted, and he's just doing a quick warm-up set with it, and you think, but that's I think that's good, that's motivating, because then you think, right, okay, well, I'm not as strong as him, and I probably never will be, but I'm going to try and get as close to him as I can while I'm doing the same exercises as he is. So it's good. I think that's good. It's motivating, and the other thing is, I would prefer to see someone doing a lighter weight with good technique than someone who is doing a big ego lift and put loads of weight on and then just does a quarter squat and then racks it back onto the power rack and goes, there we are, look at that. I'm, you know, how strong am I? I just managed to slightly flex my knees when I had that weight. Well, no, that's not really helping anybody. But the good thing about squat, I have a bit of a love-hate relationship with squats. I always think to myself that if you like doing squats, if you genuinely enjoy doing squats, you're probably not doing them right, because you know they aren't a very nice exercise to do if you've got a lot of weight. They're a bit scary if you've got a lot of weight, you know, and you're standing there with a lot of weight and you've got to squat down and get back up again. You know, you should be a little bit worried. You know, that it should be a bit out of your comfort zone. So you know, unless you're a masochist, then you should be thinking, you know, I'm a bit worried here. Am I going to make these six reps or whatever it is? So, yeah, I like squats because I like the fact that I can get strong with them. But I don't like them because when I put an extra, even just putting an extra sort of 2.5 kilos on and thinking, right, this is the most I've ever lifted now. Am I going to be able to do it? And then you do. That's a great feeling. But when you think, "Am I going to be able to lift it?" and then you think, "No, there's no way." It's that then that the psychological side comes in there as well, and you're thinking, "I don't think I can do it." And as soon as you think that, you're beaten. You've got to think to yourself, "I'm going to do it." So I like that challenge, but also it's not very comfortable doing a squat, especially for things like front squats, because I don't really do back squats. Front squats are particularly uncomfortable, so I don't like them, but I also love them.
How's your off season been so far, David?
Yeah,
Pretty quiet. I haven't spoken much about it.
no, not really. I mean, to be honest with you, it's a bit dull. This time of year is a bit dull. You know, you're in the gym. I'm going to the gym 4 times a week. I'm heavy lifting. and that's it. You know, I go in, I do my squats, I do my deadlifts, I do my bench pressing, I do my supplemental exercises, and then I go home. So it's not very exciting, but this is this is probably the most important time of the year, this off season, because this is the time when you can get really, really strong.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I saw an interview with Stuart Broad saying, I haven't enjoyed being injured because, I hate missing playing cricket, because he's been injured recently, hasn't he? But I've been able to get in the gym and get really strong.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, how can you get strong in 3 weeks or whatever it was that he was out for, or 4 weeks or whatever it was? I can't really remember. It was only a couple of weeks. You're not going to get really strong in that time. You're not. It takes a lot longer than that. It takes 3 months, 6 months to get really strong compared to where you are at the beginning. So that's a funny thing for him to say. But then that's probably a 3 week period. It's probably about as long as an international bowler gets these days to be able to have an off season.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But for someone like me who has a very long off season, because our season finishes quite early. You have a very long off season. You can really spend a lot of time working on your strength and your endurance and building up that base. So yeah, I'm really enjoying it. It's really good fun, but it's also quite boring to talk about.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're back again this week to pick the brains of our batting coach Gary Palmer. Gary Palmer was a first class cricketer, played for Somerset, and he now helps young players of the game with CCM Academy. Want to find out more about Gary Palmer, please visit www.pitchvision.com/Gary Palmer. Let's have a listen to the tip Gary Palmer has for us this week.
Hi Gary, welcome back.
Hi Dave, how many times are you going to keep calling me like this?
Until people stop asking us questions. There's a lot of buzz around cricket commentators and coaches around the words bat speed. So, is bat speed something that you're interested in, and do you have any ways to improve it?
I am totally not interested in the word bat speed in the slightest, especially when you're talking about playing straight. I think if you're hooking or you're cutting, when the bottom hand does come in, and it's a natural sort of shot, and you've got to be quick to get up onto the ball. Yes, you've got to swing the bat quickly. But I think playing straight, I know with my own experience of coaching loads and loads of different types of players, if I told someone to swing the bat fast to play straight drives in the V, I know they would get worse. It would be harder for me to get them to have a good technique, because you're compromising shape and technique. I think you need to swing the bat. The slower you swing the bat, the more you control the shot, the more you get the feel of what you're doing, and the brain, you know, you're quantifying feel for the brain. You're swinging slowly, 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 slowly. You're feeling it, and I think that's the way forward. And if you watch the great Viv Richards and those types of players, they just look like they've got so much time. Because they get into this position early, play late, just let the ball come, and they swing slowly. They maintain shape for longer than anybody else because it's easier when you swing the bat slowly. For me, everyone has their own sort of optimum rhythm. And I suppose the rhythm of the backswing is, the optimum rhythm is the speed that you need to swing it yourself to maintain technique for as long as possible to optimize performance. But swinging the bat fast is generally what we do in a one-day game when we've lost the plot a bit, we've started panicking, and we just swing too quickly, and everything goes wrong. Whereas the greats, they take time out, relax, have a look round, they know exactly what they're doing, and they may be telling themselves, just swing, shot tempo, swing the bat even slower, maintain shape. It's very, very hard to swing the bat fast and keep shape, so totally, totally, personally, anti that, because with the people I've worked with, when I've told them to swing the bat even slower in practice, they've actually hit the ball just as hard, maintained shape for longer, and if the ball goes a bit away off the seam or in the air, you find if you swing slow and relaxed, you can go with it. But if you're swinging fast, you just stay locked on the same line. Elbow goes too quickly. Bat face goes too quickly. For me, that's that doesn't work. But if someone's bowling a ball at 90 miles an hour at your head, obviously, you want to swing the bat as fast as you can to get into position to hook it, to make sure you don't get one straight between the eyes. And if the ball's going past you, wide of the crease, you know, a cut shot. Again, you've got to be quite quick because it's going past you. It's wider of you. You have to get at the ball. But when it's in line with you, you've got time to just keep that bat straight, let the ball come. Shot tempo, I think massively important, shot tempo. Practice swinging it slowly. Practice shadowing your shots slowly where possible. And I think that's the way forward. I understand there's a chap in Russia who's very successful at teaching tennis players. While there's the United States with all their courts, all their computers, all their coaches, they can't compete with this one particular Russian guy. And they studied what he does. And apparently, again, he does a lot of swinging the tennis racket slowly, getting technique perfect. All the right signals are going to the brain. He does quite a lot of this, because the slower you do it, the more the brain's remembering it, the body can feel it, and then it's all speeded up over a period of time. So it becomes second nature, but the brain knows exactly what positions the body should be getting into. I think they've done it with playing the violin as well. It seems to be quite an important thing to be working on. But swinging the bat fast, maybe someone's done a survey on what baseball players do. But again, different type of sport. Ball's coming at you quite quick from very close. Your bat's not swinging in a straight line. It's a very small bat. Slightly different. I think cricket, you need to swing it slowly. Look like you're in control.
If you want tips and drills from Gary Palmer, you can access Pitch Vision Academy on www.pitchvision.com/Gary Palmer. We now have a chat with Menno Gazzadem. Now, Menno has authored an ebook that consists of 120 pages of tips and tricks for spinners. So if you're a spinner or a coach of spinners, then Spin Bowling Tips is the most comprehensive guide to spin bowling out there. So please visit www.pitchvision.com/academy to pick up a copy. Let's have a listen to what Menno has to say for us this week.
Do you recommend any particular training equipment to help a spinner improve?
Training equipment, right. I'm a bit old school when it comes to prescribing particular training equipment. I actually don't prescribe anything. I just use really old school stuff. I encourage all spinners to buy a squeezy ball or a tennis ball, use an old tennis ball to strengthen the fingers. If you don't have, some spinners have complained to me they have short, stubby fingers and they can't spin the ball as hard as a guy with natural big hands. Fair comment, but don't, so I say, use everything you can. You might have short fingers, but if they're not strong as they can be, then you're not going to spin the ball as much. So strengthen your fingers with a squeezy ball and strengthen your wrists in the gym. It's important not to neglect your wrists. I mean, if you're a leg spin bowler, that's what you use to generate your spin, is your wrist. So strengthen that. You can get more revolutions on the ball. And then two low-tech things I use in the nets is I use a colored rope, the thicker the better, and I span it across the net at batsman's eye level, and make sure when I practice my flight, I want to get the ball just over that net every time. And that, then I know I'm getting my flight right. And what I sometimes do is I put two ropes. I put a rope at about a quarter way down the pitch and another rope, say, about halfway down the pitch at the same length. And what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get it over the first rope. So it means I'm getting my flight above the batsman's eye. I might put that rope on at the batsman's eye level, try and get it over the first rope and then dip down before the second rope. If you're going to use a thin rope, you're not actually going to see it. You need a nice thick colored rope. You can just, or anything, silk, or it doesn't matter. Just span anything you can see across the nets, two of them at eye level, get it over the first one, above the second one. It means you're getting your flight right. It means you're getting your dip right. And then another low tech thing I do is I have a piece of chalk and I mark on the pitch where I want to bowl. I don't make it too unrealistic. I make a small target. I make a nice big target. It gives me confidence when I hit it. And you don't have to be on the penny every time you're spinning. Just get it a nice drivable length, sort of a soccer ball size target.
That's interesting with the rope. I've seen something similar by another set of stumps, two more sets of stumps, and they're put sort of a little way down the wicket, and the bowler has to try and get it over the stumps and make it pitch just over
yeah.
the top of them.
Yeah. Anything that helps you practice the concept of tossing it up, but then getting that depth.
Thank you, Manu, for your time. If you're a spinner or a coach of spinners, then please visit www.pitchvision.com/academy to pick up a copy of Manu's Spin Bowling Tips, which is the most comprehensive guide to spin bowling out there. Now, we have a new interview this week with Sam Lavery. Now, Sam runs the Pro Coach Cricket Academy, which is an English coaching academy that coaches all over the country. Sam has played and coached cricket all over the world, and he has a sports science background, and he has detailed knowledge of psychology, strength and conditioning, and biomechanics. So please visit www.procricketcoachingacademy.com for more information. Let's have a listen to what Sam has to say for us this week.
Hi, Sam. Welcome to the show.
Hi there.
Pro Coach Cricket Academy is a big organisation. It must take some running. What's a typical day like for you?
Typical day is probably longer than I'd like at the moment. Starts usually myself and Chris Taylor meet in the morning at the office. We've actually just in the process of moving offices, so we're between one at Henley Stadium and one which is around the corner, but we generally meet at the office we've been in for a while now. Sometime between sort of 8:45 and 9:00, we plan out the day. Depending on what we're doing day to day, it could be anything from just organising coaches, which at this time of year is pretty chaotic. I mean, we've got about 30 or so academies running around the country, so we spend a lot of time organising coaches, but we're also looking at planning for the future. Personally, I'm involved in spending a lot of time talking to the coaches, talking about the coaching process, and talking about lesson plans and how we're actually going to go about delivering the product. Yeah, in the office, we'll get through that in there, hopefully through the day quite smoothly, but sometimes it's all wrapped up by 5 o'clock, and you never know, sometimes we're still there at 9 o'clock at night. So typical day for me usually it ends up in 6 o'clock start for a coaching session somewhere around the country somewhere. So I'm usually coaching 6 to 9, which works probably about 4 or 5 evenings a week, and then another session on a weekend. So this time of year is pretty hectic here.
And you run a lot of courses. So what is it, do you think, that's made the Pro Coach Cricket Academy so successful?
Well, I think we've been lucky. We've been fortunate that because of the people we've managed to meet over the years, we've got some good contacts as far as first-class players go. And I'm sure you know what it's like. We put the best coach in the world in front of a child, but if the child's not interested in who they are and what they've got to say, they're not necessarily going to be particularly beneficial, even if they might have all the information. Whereas we might have someone like Andrew Gale now, who's obviously started off some years ago now, who's now in the England Lions squad, and he just needs to turn up to a session and see the look on the kids' faces when they're seeing, they see the face on TV, they see the guy that they know, and every single word that comes out of his mouth, they pick it up straight away.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the coaching side of it now. You must see a lot of kids doing all the coaching that you do. If you could say that there were three common mistakes that you'd see talented players making, what would you say those three mistakes were?
The first thing that I'll say whenever I go on any one of my courses, and anyone who's been coached by me, and any of the young children who probably get a bit sick of me for saying it all the time, though, is just balance. I think it's absolutely key to have good balance and a good awareness of our body position and ultimately our head position. The position of our head, if we get it right, can make batting look so simple. If we keep our balance and keep in a good position, everything looks easy.
Second one I'd say is time. A lot of the young kids hit ball very early. I think it comes from probably junior cricket, where I'm sure you know that a lot of the bowling they get is pretty well and all down 7 years, so you get used to hitting pool shots a lot and they're hitting the ball out and improving themselves. As a result of which they sort of get into the mode of improving that and improving themselves.
It's quite difficult to explain the time of things sometimes to the children, because they'll say, well, I still hit the shot well, it still came off well, which a lot of the time it does.
Just try and transfer to them, and then you get out on a typical April, May wicket in England, and if you already play the ball early, you already push it early, once you get onto those, it's well, and it's just blogging every ball. It just sort of overemphasises any weakness in technique and timing. The other one is probably a bond thing. Again, I'd say balance of arm, but just the tightness of arms. We want to just talk about working things in straight lines. So many children go in and bowl and they just look at where they want to hit the ball, where they want to land the ball, and don't think about the process of how it's going to get there. Using their arms in the right way, getting the front arm moving in the right direction, actually using some pace as well. As soon as you explain to them, they understand the concept quite well. It's a very simple process, and they sort of pick it up quite quickly, and suddenly hopefully the result they get is a little bit more consistency in the pace as well. As we explain things, they seem to understand the principles of how everything works in a straight line, the balls will go straight line, and ultimately it'll be a little bit more successful, we hope.
And finally, coaching so many kids, you must have seen some funny things on the courses. Does anything spring to mind that's happened that made you laugh at the time?
I'll tell you what we're doing at the moment. One of the things, one of the warm-ups we do, is just a lower body coordination warm-up. All it is, I'm sure you've been in a situation where football or rugby or cricket, you just run along with your knees up, quite high knees, and then flicking your heels up towards your bum. All the kids have always done it. We try and do a little one which is a little bit more technical, where you've got to go, have your knees up for one ball, one step, then you put your heels up for one, and then you transfer from leg to leg, and we sort of build it up, and it gets a little bit more complicated, and there's lots more movement in this. It's almost a bit like doing a river dance, but I did it with Simon, myself and Simon Guy were coaching the other day, and I must have had six kids on the floor in stitches. They could barely walk, but suddenly all ability to, I mean, these kids are serious cricketers. They can even put a bowling machine on, swinging around, and they can put it through the covers all day long. But just trying to get them to do a simple lower body footwork exercise, they were all over the place, and they could barely walk, and it was absolutely hilarious. And Simon Guy was he just tried to make me all more complicated until none of them were going. So that was pretty good, and the kids were like, fun. I think starting a session with something like that, which is, although it's a bit silly, it gets them involved, it wakes them up a bit, and it gets them.
Thank you, Sam, for your time. If you want to find out more about the Pro Coach Cricket Academy, please visit www.procricketcoachingacademy.com. Don't forget that you can get more tips and tricks on our website at www.pitchvision.com. The site is updated daily and includes forums to chat with other cricketers around the world. Stay tuned for our next show on the 4th of December. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at mycricketcoach@pitchvision.com. That's mycricketcoach@pitchvision.com. Thank you for listening, and we hope to see you next time. This is Kevin Sampath from Sydney, Australia, signing off.
And this is David Hinchliffe in the UK.